Thank you, Rabbi Taubes. That was really, Yasher Koch, that was really beautiful. I'm going to focus on another mitzvah and another type of relationship. In the Gemara, I'm just going to go ahead and share my my screen. A moment. In the Gemara, there are a couple of different stories that appear about families connected to the Korban Pesach. The first one of many appears in Pesachim Peitet, and it talks about a father trying to motivate his children to go to Yerushalayim. And the Mishnah there says that a father says to his children, I'm going to go ahead and offer the Korban Pesach for what those of you who get, whichever one of you gets there first. And then the first one that gets there, the Mishnah goes ahead and describes for us that he's the one who gets the Korban Pesach on behalf of his father. So on behalf of himself. So the Gemara there questions, what exactly are we learning from this Mishnah? It tries to learn something halachic, but what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan says, what's the point? What's the father trying to do here? Kedei lezarzam b'mitzvot kamar. Really, there's no halachic implication in this Mishnah, but rather the father is trying to motivate his son to go ahead and be excited about the mitzvah, to get to Yerushalayim and to feel a sense of excitement. And then the Gemara there quotes a braita about a father, ma'aseva kadmu banot lebanim, that one situation, the daughters got there first, v'nimtza banot zrizot ubanim shvalim, and they found that the daughters were the ones who were so excited, and the sons were kind of lazy. So here we have a story of a father really trying to get his sons, daughters, really motivated and really excited about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. There's another story which appears in source 2 on Pesachim Pei Zayin about a woman who gets married. And the Mishnah there describes the time when, if she's in her father's house and her father shechs the Korban Pesach for her, and so does her, she gets married and her father shechs for her the Korban Pesach, and so does her husband. She goes ahead and she eats from her husband's. Then the Gemara goes on to describe, as it was often customary for in the first regal, in the first Pesach, for a daughter to go to her or her parents' house for Pesach, and sometimes practices that are continued today. Shachat Alehan, in that case, if her father shachs for her or if her husband shachs for her, she actually has the choice of eating whichever place and location she wants to. The Gemara there goes on to describe an orphan who has his caretakers shacht for him, the Korban Pesach, or an Eved who has two masters, where exactly these individuals can go ahead and eat. And there are a few other stories like this in the Gemara about individuals, families in specific, connected to the Korban Pesach. And as I was learning these stories, they really piqued my interest. We could look at these stories just as stories and we could go ahead and move on. But I think that the Gemara, Ravina and Ravashi chose to, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi chose to put these stories in the Mishnah and in the Gemara to go ahead and teach us something about the Korban Pesach specifically connected to families. The Korban Pesach is unique in many ways. It appears three different times in the Torah. It appears in Shemot, it appears in Bamidbar, and it appears in Dvarim. Interestingly enough, it does not appear in Vayikra, which is where many of the Korbanot do appear. And I think that this also adds to the intrigue and to the uniqueness of the Korban Pesach. So what I also think is interesting, not just about the details about the Korban Pesach, but also about who can and cannot eat and where the Korban Pesach should be eaten. So in Shemot, it talks about the fact that a ben nechar, a foreigner, which we're going to go ahead and look at a little bit more who that is, cannot go ahead and eat from the Korban Pesach. An eved cannot go ahead and eat from the Korban Pesach. And someone who's bound or hired laborer cannot go ahead and eat from the Korban Pesach. So interesting, there are details before these Pesukim in Shemot, but it focuses here specifically and starts with who cannot eat from the Korban Pesach. And then the Pesukim in Shmot shift to talk about where. And it says, B'bayit echad yochal, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten in one home. Lo totzi min habayit, min habasar chutza. You can't go ahead and take the Korban Pesach and eat it outside of that home. Was it, whether this was just in Pesach Mitzrayim, and what may not have been for all of the future generations, but there's this emphasis on the bayit, on the home. And then it talks also again about the convert, telling us who is included. And it mentions it not just once, but it actually mentions it twice. Then if we look in Bamidbar, we see a little bit of an additional list of those people who cannot eat. And it talks about the individual who is tameh, lemate, somebody who is burying a dead person. The Gemara describes what exactly different situations that this could be, but somebody who is tameh cannot offer the korban, and someone who is bederach rechoka, somebody who is far away. We kind of have to ask ourselves, what does that mean that somebody is far away and they can't be there in the time to offer the korban Pesach? The Pesach has to be eaten completely and consumed. But then it tells us not just the fact that the tameh and the derech rechoka are not allowed to eat, but it tells us, Hashem tells us here, somebody who is tahor and someone who is close by and someone who chooses not to go ahead and eat the korban Pesach, that individual is chayv karet. They are liable to be cut off from Bnei Yisrael. Perhaps this is an early death, mita bidei shamayim. This individual is not allowed to go ahead and choose not to offer the Korban Pesach. And then once again, just like we saw in Shmot, the Pesukim here conclude with the fact that the Ger is included in offering the Korban Pesach. Now the individual who is Tameh Mei, or the individual who cannot partake in the Korban Pesach because they're far away, they do have a second chance. They can offer the Korban for the during Pesach Sheni. Then in Dvarim, we see some other details. And here we focus a little bit, there are details about chametz, but what I think is in particular interesting here is that it focuses on where the korban has to be offered and actually where the korban is eaten, and this is in the future. And this is, it has to be b'makom asher yivchar Hashem. The Korban Pesach has to be offered in the Beit HaMikdash and has to be eaten close to the Beit HaMikdash in a very specific time period. And so the location here is really what's emphasized. And I think what emerges from all of these psukim is a focus on the individuals who can and cannot eat and the location of where the Korban is eaten and the groups that eat. Generally, there's an idea that a chabura, that a group of individuals come together, they're called the minuyav, those who are dedicated to the, or who are appointed or connected to the Korban Pesach, and those are the individuals who can partake in that specific Korban Pesach. If we look a little closer at Shmot, we actually see a very strong focus on bayit. The word bayit actually appears in these psukim, 7 times in Pesukim Aleph through Chaf, and then again in Chaf Gimel until the end, it appears 7 more times. So why is there an incredible focus in Shmot on the house, on the bayit? So in source 6, the Mechilta de Rabbi Shmo, we see this real emphasis by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, talks about how, what does that one house mean? That house means a group. We don't necessarily take it literally, but we look at the house as a concept, that it's a group of individuals who must go ahead and eat together. Because here the Mechilta goes through, the Midrash goes through, and it talks about how it's not literally that they have to eat in the house. They can actually eat it in different areas. They can eat it in a sukkah. What happens if the roof falls through? But really the focus is on the group and on the individuals. It's a place where the individuals live. What is a house? A house is a place where people come together. It's a house where people go for solace. I know that for many of us, our house in the past year as a place that we may have spent more time than we actually cared for. But what's most important, actually more important than the physical location, is really the individuals who live in this house. That's why in Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah says that there's so much focus that according to Rabbi Huda, an individual actually cannot offer the Korban Pesach by themselves. It must be a group. Not everybody agrees with that opinion, but that's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi does not disagree. Rabbi Yossi, some are more inclusive, but there's an additional piece that the Mishnah here adds, that it's not just that a group of people need to go ahead and eat, but it's also a group of individuals who all can eat a kazayit. They can all eat and partake in the Korban Pesach with a specific amount. And if there is not enough of the Korban Pesach for anybody in that group to go ahead and offer the Korban Pesach, then that Korban Pesach is not a valid Korban Pesach for those individuals. And these individuals have been appointed and they've chosen to come together. And what's interesting, if you look in the Mishnah in Pesachim, Perek Hei, Mishnah Gimel, there's actually a talk about and a mention about equality in this Mishnah. And then what does the Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah tells us that if there's an agreement amongst the group, that there's somebody in the group who eats too much. They tend to be, the Mishnah describes it as Yadav Rafot. They're a little bit of a hog. They like to eat a lot and it bothers the group. Then they can choose and come together to go ahead and exclude that individual, meaning they give them, that individual, their kazayit, and they say, goodbye, we don't want you to eat. And I think that that's significant because it's not just a group of individuals. It's an group of people who are coming together, who are kind to each other, and they're considerate to one another. And that's what the Gemara in Pesachim really, really emphasizes, that emphasizes this idea that these group of people can go ahead and exclude this person. So what happens is if we look at these psukim and we look at the Gemara and we look at the Midrash, we see that the Chabura, this group of people, is really considered an extension of the house. We have this bayit, we have this house where these people live together. These people eat the Korban Pesach together. They're also a group of individuals who are committed to one another. The Korban Pesach can't be taken out of the Chabura. It can't be eaten out of the house, and only those people who are part of that specific chabura. There's an idea that chaburas can't mix, and they have to go ahead and stay together. So we see that in source 10, which is another mechilta, that when we say that the individual can't, or the Korban Pesach can't be taken out of the house, what it actually means is that the Korban Pesach can't be taken out of the chabura, that this group of people have to go ahead and stay together and go ahead and eat this Korban Pesach together, whether it's physically in this house that they're combined together or that they're joined together, or that they are together as this group of individuals who have now come together to eat. They're considered a unit, and they're a unit that's committed to each other. And so we see this real emphasis on chabura, on house, and really on family, because who's living in the house? Those who are living in that house are the family. And the family comes together and they're committed to each other to go ahead and eat the Korban Pesach. They want to make sure that everybody has a certain amount of the Korban Pesach, that they eat it together in a specific location. They're physically together, they care about one another, and they're committed to each other. This might not be a typical family, but it's really a group of individuals. The way I look at it is a new family that's been formed to come together to eat the Korban Pesach. So that's really talking about the bayit. It's talking about the chabura. But how do we look at the group of individuals or those people who are excluded from eating the Korban Pesach? We see that there's a ben nechar. There's the arel, someone who is not circumcised. There's someone who's tame, someone who is rachok, who is far, and someone who cannot eat a kezayit. So what are the explanations and what are the reasons why these individuals cannot eat from the Korban Pesach? So if we look in source 11, which is the Sefer HaChinuch looks at the Ben Nechar, as many do, as a Mishumad. What is a Mishumad? This is somebody who is a foreigner. It's someone who is a Jew, whose actions, and are showing that they have actually rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they've rejected the Torah, that they've rejected the mitzvah. Unkelus also translates this way. And this individual cannot go ahead and eat from the Korban Pesach and is not allowed to go ahead and participate in the Korban Pesach. And as the Sefer HaChinuch often does, he goes ahead and he gives an explanation. Why is it that the Meshumad, this Ben Nechar as he defines, is excluded from the Korban Pesach? And he says that this individual, when we look at the Korban Pesach, what really is the Korban Pesach? It is a sign and a memory device that we have come to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a sense, it's a brit, the Korban Pesach, that we make with Hashem. It is us accepting the yoke of heaven, the Omachut Shamayim, and it is a commitment to Hashem that we believe in him and that we believe in his Torah. And so it's not fitting for a Meshumad to go ahead and partake in the Korban Pesach because he is an individual who has gone ahead and rejected Hashem. So how can one who has rejected Hashem go ahead and participate in an event or in a korban that is showing that they're accepting Hashem? So they've rejected a lifestyle. They've rejected the lifestyle that they were brought up in, and they're no longer committed to a Torah lifestyle. That type of commitment of committing to a Torah lifestyle is necessary in order for one to be able to partake in the Korban Pesach. Now, the same thing can be said about NRL, somebody who does not have a Brit Milah. I'm not addressing here the individuals who cannot have a Brit Milah, that is actually discussed, but this is someone who has willfully made the decision to not circumcise. They are not committed to Torah in the most essential way, because the Brit Milah is also a Brit that one partakes in to show commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if we look at the Tameh, what about the Tameh? So on some level, this is really practical. A Tameh person can't offer a Korban. I also want to think about their commitments. And this is not in a negative way, but at this moment in time, the individual who is Tameh, who is burying somebody else, they have an alternate commitment. They are committed to the larger community to go ahead and take care of the dead. And so at that moment in time, they cannot go ahead and commit to this chabura in the way that the Korban Pesach demands. Now, what about the rachok? The rachok, why is he excluded? If the Gemara actually talks about how he's not really so far. So if he's not so far, and perhaps he'll get there in time to eat the Korban Pesach, why can't the other individuals offer the Korban Pesach on his behalf? And then by the time this individual gets closer to the Beit HaMikdash, he can go ahead and eat. So Mefarshim are really troubled by this. And in source 12, the Abravanel tries to go ahead and give us an alternate explanation. And what does he say? He says that we could take this literally, the idea of the Derech Rechoka, that a person is on his way to the Beit HaMikdash to offer the Korban and somehow is sidetracked and cannot arrive in time on the 14th of Adar. But the Abravanel does agree with this because he says, Pesach is not a surprise. The individual should have prepared themselves. They should have known that the Korban Pesach had to be offered by a specific time and given themselves and provided themselves ample time to arrive, right? Thinking back to the story of the Zariz, if we're really committed to offer the Korban Pesach, then we need to go ahead and arrive on time. So rather, the Abravanel actually says that what's b'derech rechoka, what's far away? He says it's actually the seh, it's the korban itself. Something happened to the korban. So I read into the words of the Abravanel that he can't imagine a scenario that really it's the case where somebody is b'derech rechoka, that they're far away, and they haven't offered, they're not there to offer the Korban Pesach. But what I read is that if the person does not provide themselves ample time to get there, we can't offer the Korban Pesach on behalf of him or her. This individual has shown a lack of commitment to the others in the Chabura and a lack of commitment to the mitzvah, because they should have prepared. They should have been exciting. But sometimes things happen, and that's why the Derech Rechoka and the Tamei Lenefesh do have a chance at redo, that they can offer the Pesach Sheni. They can show and have a makeup that they are really committed to the Korban Pesach. So when we look at the Korban Pesach, I think we see a theme emerging about families and commitments to each other. Families can really be expansive. We can invite many people to partake in the korban, in our chabura, but we have to make sure that when we have this expansive family, when we have this larger group that we're including in the chabura, that there is enough food for everybody to partake at least equally in the korban, and everybody has to be considerate of the other individuals. There's a strong emphasis on the ger and making sure that the ger feels welcome, the convert feels welcome within the Korban Pesach, and that they have a place. Hence, it's mentioned in all three locations. Now, if we look at comments by the Rav Soloveitchik, he looks at the phrase selabayit, beit avot, selabayit, that the Korban Pesach is a symbol of redemption. But as I mentioned, it's a unique Korban. The concept of the Chabura, of this group of individuals, is completely non-existent in any other Korban. It only exists in the Korban Pesach. Pesach is linked to the Chabura to such extent, as I mentioned, that Rabbi Yehuda does not allow an individual to offer the Korban Pesach, that only a group can. It also, the Korban Pesach is also different than other korbanot because it is a symbol of chayrut. It's a symbol of freedom. The Torah calls the Korban Pesach land for each parental home, a lamb for each parental home, a lamb for each household, because the freedom expresses itself in the realm of a house, of a community of being together. Individuals who are truly free, individuals who have truly committed to Hashem, according to the Rav, can then truly commit to one another. And this new concept of a bayit, this concept of a home, is a category that is revealed to us when the Jews gather to gain their freedom and is specifically mentioned to us through the Korban Pesach. A new fellowship is formed around the Korban Pesach. A new community comes into existence. The Korban Pesach enables us to be together, living together, and sharing something in common that we have one another. And that was made possible by the ceremony of the Korban Pesach. Rav Shimshon Rofal Hirsch, in the beginning of Shmot, emphasizes the same point. He says that it's interesting, if you look, that when Hashem builds his nation, he doesn't build his people from the leadership of the highest echelon, but rather he looks at the foundation of the home, the familial ties, the bonds that unite parents and their children, and that this is the heart and soul of a family. Each child builds his own home as a branch of his parents' home, and every father and mother lives on in their children and their grandchildren. Rabbi Taubes mentioned the idea of Mesorah. That's really what we are as a Jewish people. Parents with their children and children with their parents, knit together and united forever. This is the root of Israel's eternal flowering. And this lies the secret in the eternity of our people. And really, it's emphasized in the Korban Pesach, that we have the opportunity through the Korban Pesach to show our commitment to each other. And that was why in the story of the Korban Pesach that I first mentioned, that the father wants to encourage his children to go ahead and offer the Korban Pesach. Because what is he showing to his children? He's showing his commitment to Hashem, and he's also showing his commitment to his children, to his family. And he's doing that all through the Korban Pesach, because he wants them to remain committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how are they going to remain committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By learning from their father and learning from the commitments that they make to one another. And the same is true of a daughter who feels very connected to her parents, who wants to be in her parents' home and feels that continuity that her father showed to her and wants to show it back to her father. And the Maharal in Gvurat Hashem has a beautiful idea that connects to this. He looks at Yaakov Avinu, and he compares Yaakov and his children to a tree. That Yaakov is the shoresh, he's the root, while his children are the branches of a tree. And if we think about a branch is not a separate entity, but it's an offshoot, which loses its source of nourishment actually when it's cut from the tree. This is also the meaning of the word shevet, which means offshoot. And as much as each of the Shvatim were distinct, they had their own unique personalities, they had their own unique futures, and they were different from each other in many respects, they nevertheless could never really split away from each other and form their own individual nations. Rather, they formed one nation because the common denominator between them remained. The Maharal writes that Bnei Yisrael were created in the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and in this world. And he quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu to emphasize this, where Hashem says, "Im zo tihilati yisapru," that in this nation that I have created, my praise will tell. Since the glory of Hashem is in this world and that he is one and there is no other, if we wish him glory, then it makes sense that we do this together. We proclaim Hashem's oneness together. And how do we go ahead and really truly show our commitment to Hashem? It's by showing commitment to each other, to creating that foundation of a family. And we need to be present. We can't be far away. We can't be bederech rechoka. We have to ensure that our family has enough nourishment, both physically and spiritually. We all need to be together, united in a greater purpose. And in this way, we can truly form a bayit. We can then form a chabura. And ultimately, we can form a nation. And when all the pieces of the puzzle fit together, all the branches are really united, then we can encourage and enable each other to go ahead and commit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what I believe is the message of the Korban Pesach. And while now we don't have the Beit HaMikdash to go ahead and offer the Korban Pesach, I believe that the message continues to resonate and it has been transferred on some level to the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, as Rabbi Taubes was mentioning, that in the Haggadah, that when families sit together and they show a commitment to each other, hopefully soon we can have expansive families, and they show commitment to Hashem, we're continuing our link in the Mesorah. We are continuing to show our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately we are showing that we are committed to one another. And so as we head into Pesach and we think about the different messages of the Korban Pesach and the different messages and ideas that we learn, I hope that this is an idea that really resonates with you and that you can go ahead and bring to your Seder to go ahead and share with your families. I wish everybody a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I hope that you learned a lot.